Welcome to the Real Estate Mogul Podcast, where you'll learn how to leverage investing strategies in your real estate business. Featuring in-depth masterminds with experts on real estate sales, investing, wealth building, and lead generation. With each episode, you'll build a toolbox of strategies for generating motivated seller leads and giving them out-of-the-box options to reach their goals while putting more money in your pocket. And now, here's your host, Tom Caffarella.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Real Estate Mogul Podcast. I am super excited to bring on Trevor Mock from OnCarrot.
OnCarrot's our domain. Okay. That's where you can find us online. Carrot's the name of the company.
Yep. Yeah, I get confused because I see add-on Carrot, I see investor Carrot, I see just Carrot, but the branding is unbelievable, by the way. I know we talked a couple minutes ago about some other things that I really like about your company, but just to back up for 1 second. So tell us a little bit about what your company does, what service you provide.
Yeah. So the cliff notes of it and why we started this company was my background is in generating leads online. I've had some big clients in the corporate world and also tons in the real estate market. And I generate a lot of leads for myself in the real estate market. And we found that in general, you know, small businesses, they made the rush online over the past decade because they knew they needed to be online, right? If I'm not online and my clients are searching for me and they find my competitors, therefore I have a disadvantage if I'm not online. Mm-hmm. And real estate investors or your mom and pop shop down the road of a pizza joint, everyone got online, but what they didn't focus on was performance. And because you didn't need to, as long as you're online, you had that performance advantage.
Yep.
Everyone's online. All the real estate investors are online, or the majority, or at least you know that you should be. All your pizza places are, all the small businesses are. What happens is that removed that advantage from just being online. So in 2007, we started to really shift on performance, you know, way before Carrot. We're like, well, shoot, we're not getting the performance we were before because now everyone's there. How do we actually make a website convert well? How do we actually get our website in front of a prospect who's actually looking to buy or engage our service, who has the problem that we can solve? And that's where it kind of started that journey on becoming amazing at lead generation. You're getting in front of prospects who are searching Google, now on Facebook and some other things. And then it's like, we're getting people to our sites. How do we make sure that we build that credibility with them and guide them on this journey so it builds trust? And also all those psychology elements that actually guides them toward converting into a lead. So we help thousands of real estate investors and now agents generate tens of thousands of leads online, kind of using our conversion and traffic methodology with our software.
So for everyone who's on right now, just to give you guys, you know, full disclosure, I'm a client of Trevor's. I really, really believe in his product. And I want to just really quickly tell you, Trevor, my story before I ended up signing on with your company.
Cool.
So I'm a real estate investor. I've been doing this for 10 years. I do a ton of volume. I spend a lot of money on online marketing. And I had a really, really, really pretty site. Site looked awesome. Everyone who went to it said how great it looked. It had all of my flip properties that I've done on it. I spent a bunch of money on it, but I kept hearing about you, and people kept saying, "Oh, you know, should I get a Carrot?" Because I also coach and work with investors in other parts of the country, and they would say to me, "You know, should I get a Carrot site?" And I say, "Man, you know, why? Just copy my site. Like, you know, I'll have my web guy for $50. Copy my site." And then I kept getting this feedback, like I bought his site and now I'm getting more leads.
Yep.
And so to be 100% truthful with you, I would go, I look at your site and I'd say, doesn't look pretty. and I would literally say, this is just a template. There's nothing special about it. Mm-hmm. And then again, I just kept getting the feedback that your site worked, like meaning it was converting more people. And I said, you know what, I don't even know what I pay for your site. It's nominal. It's like $100 or $50 a month or something like that.
Yep.
And I said, for $50 or $100 a month, I'm going to split test this. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to send half my traffic to my site and half my traffic to your site, and literally more than double conversion for your ugly, expletive sites.
Yeah.
So,
dude, I love it.
So tell us a little bit about, like, I guess, you know, it's not super, there's a reason why your sites are set up like they're set up, and I'm sure you know the actual mechanics behind it. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Man, it's so cool. I mean, hearing what you said, and we hear that all the time, but it's cool actually being able to we read it all the time where someone types it, but it's really cool hearing your story on it.
Yeah.
Man, so here's the deal, right? So my first website was insanely ugly because I didn't know how to build a pretty site, and I wanted to build a pretty site. This is back in 2007 was when I,
well, your ugly site in 2007 probably looked nice for 2007.
Well, exactly. It was, I went to GoDaddy. I went to GoDaddy.com. I didn't have a whole lot of money, and I used one of their templates. I'm like, I'm going to go look at what all the other competitors are doing. And I'm going to borrow this. And one of them has this on the site, and I'm going to put this over here. And one of them has this, and that looks kind of cool. And I kind of think I want to mainly make a focus on sellers, but I also want to just have one site. So I'm going to put buyers on there and lease option and this and that, and my tenant stuff for my properties. And so I ended up having this site. And it got a lead. So I'm not going to say it didn't get leads, but yeah, those leads were definitely like, they were a false flag because I was getting leads. Therefore, I thought it must be working.
Yeah.
And what was happening was, it wasn't because I started to test stuff on that site that I realized that it wasn't performing as well as it should have been. It was as I was digging in and taking on clients, which my main income has never been real estate. I always put real estate I always put my money in properties for cash flow and wealth and long-term. My active income, like with Carrot, is with businesses that I love to build, usually based around marketing. They happen to be, in the online world too. So at that time I was taking on clients and trying to do online marketing, and one of them would say, hey, well, what about this? And what about this? So I was forced to dive into that world of learning conversion rate optimization, of learning what actually worked once someone landed there to convert someone. I went on the journey of learning human psychology and how do you drive actions that you want to drive. So there's all the books, on the bookshelf back there, there's a whole section of them that are just human psychology. Persuasion from Cialdini, and then there's like a whole bunch of other ones that teach you how to make a great offer. That's the first thing, right? You've got to have a clear, crisp, great offer. You've got to have great copy on there. So the words in the page have to directly meet that prospect, whoever it is, in the state that they're currently in. So then you can go, okay, I know who you are. I know exactly the problems you have. I know what you're going through. I'm going to answer every single one of those objections you've got. I'm going to cast the vision for where you want to go. And I'm going to tell you exactly how to do it and make you comfortable along the way because I'm the person you should work with. So I started to learn copy really well. Like, how do you use words and pictures correctly and videos, if the video is good, to actually then tell that story to the prospects they want to work with you.
I think that's the biggest mistake that we make as investors, is that we don't understand these things, mm-hmm. right? So what do? We search around, we say, who has the nicest website? Okay, let me pretty much copy that as much as I can. Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with whether it's going to speak to a lead because of the actual words on the page, yep. or whether or not it's going to drive the action. And by the way, when I say your sites are ugly, they're not like hideous. Like, so, for the people who are online, they look good. They don't look mm-hmm. bad. They just, they don't look like, when I think about building a website for my business on day one, I thought about like, what would a photographer's website look like. And that's, exactly. and that's what I thought would convert the best. Like, oh, I have an awesome looking site. Someone's going to fill in the form, but sorry to cut you off. You can continue on that thought,
you're 100% correct, because that's what all of us want to do. Like, we all want to have a website or marketing materials or a logo or whatever it is that looks like amazingly pretty, because when you show it to your dad or your brother, neighbor or your spouse or whatever, like, you want them to go, man, that's a great looking site, right? Yep. That's kind of what we do. And the biggest mistake that we can make, and I made this mistake so many times, Tom, the biggest mistake that we can make is when you get done crafting some sort of marketing, whether it's a postcard or direct mail piece or your sign or your website, the biggest mistake we can make as marketers is asking someone who's not your prospect what they think about it. Like, yep. someone who's not your prospect or who's not really good at copy and marketing, and hooks and stuff. Because that's what happens all the time is we're out there building our marketing. We send it to a friend or someone else looks at it and like, man, that's way too long. No one's going to read that. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to read it because the message doesn't speak to them, because they don't have that problem. that's deep seated in their core, and they need to sell that house, or they want to buy an amazing house, or they want to invest money into properties because they've got all this money over here that's sitting on the sidelines, not earning anything. They need to find good cash flowing properties. If you find that person who has that problem, they're going to read every word in that page because if it's written well, because it speaks to them. Dude, a great example of this, the whole ugly versus pretty and robust content versus thin content is my wife and I and kids, we bought a house a year ago. It's kind of like a dream property. It's 3 acres on the river. House needs some work. We're in renovation right now. But we moved into the house, and one thing I didn't predict, because I'd never lived on the river, is there's a lot of wildlife and stuff that you don't want, like rats are, you know, along the river, and so you got to make sure rats are not in there, and bats. And
dude, I had a bat in my house last week.
Yeah.
one of the most freaky, scary, but shouldn't be scary things I've ever had.
Oh, exactly, because they're unpredictable, right? I mean,
Like I've had birds in my house, mm-hmm. and they want to get out, and they know how to get out. Bats don't know what the hell they're doing. Like,
and they don't fly straight. They like fly around.
Oh my God. Like literally, I mean, anyways, go ahead.
Yeah. So we had a bat problem, and bats got into the attics, and I mean, I'm talking like a lot of bats. It wasn't a couple. It was like 100 bats in the attic.
Yeah.
And we were sitting there counting them. So what do? We're like, okay, how do we get rid of these bats? So I had this problem. It was a problem I had. It wasn't something that my buddy had and whatever. I had this problem. And all that's going through my mind is, what are these health issues that could pop up if there's all this shit up in my attic? Sorry, pardon the French. If there's all this crap up in my attic, what's going to happen to the house if they're chewing it? How do I get them out? Can I get them out? What's it look like? Like I have all these scenarios I'm going through. So I go to Google, just like all of us do. We go to Google. Start searching it. Bats in my attic. How to get bats out of my attic. Health issues that could have come from bats, like all these questions. And so I'm typing all these things into Google, having this problem. I'm on this information collection phase to try to solve this problem I've got. And I land on a series of websites. There were some that were really, really pretty, but they didn't solve none of the questions I had in my mind were answered by those websites. And I'm like, cool, that's a good looking website, but it doesn't have what I need. I bounced back to Google. I found these two websites. I think it's called like batsoutofmyattic.com or batsintheattic.
I found the same exact one.
Tons of content.
Oh my God. Yep. Answered every question you needed, right?
It's like the best. So I found myself for literally 20 minutes on this website, on batsintheattic.com or whatever.
So and you put in the door?
We put in all the one-way bat doors and all this stuff, right? He had great questions on there. He had phone numbers for each specific local provider. And all that is, that website is a lead generation website for local bat extrication people, right? Yeah. I called one of them. So I'm like, I don't have the time to do this. I called one of them and it just routed to some guy with a different name company here in my local area. And I started talking to him. Long story short, that website was ugly, but it had great pictures on it. It depicted the problems that I had. It had great copy saying, hey, here's probably what you're experiencing. Here's what could happen from it if you don't solve this. Here's how to really solve it. But you don't really want to put the work in to do it anyway, do you? So call this number.
Yeah.
And it works the same way with our buyers, sellers, tenants, whatever it is they're on this search to solve their problem. And if your website doesn't present the content and the answers that solve their problems, they're going to go to someone else's website. So that's what we always do with ours. And we've tested tons of stuff and our mission. And I could talk for hours, dude, about what you can do to your website to make it dialed in and how to make great, great copy. But my philosophy is always this: your marketing should have as little words as you need to get across the right sales message to convert the prospect into a lead.
And that is another nugget that you mentioned a couple minutes ago on a site that you started, 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. When you have all these mixed messages, right? So, you know, in your head, you're thinking, well, let me put down all the different things that I do. I list properties, I flip them, I wholesale them, whatever. But the problem is when you start to have so many different messages, like people can't process so many different messages all at the same time. Yeah. I mean, and the problem is when they see so many mixed messages, they don't see any of the messages.
Yep. And you start to kind of go, they go down these rabbit holes, right? So they've got this problem. And that's one philosophy that we tested a lot. Can you combine a cash buyer and a motivated house seller website? You totally can, but in our data, it did decrease the results for the house sellers. Now, the house buyers, that didn't matter at all because they knew that you were getting the house from somewhere. So yep. You can totally have that on there. Hey, do you need to sell your house? Yeah, click here and sell it. But for motivated house sellers, we did find that whenever we confused that message with cash buyer messaging or rent to own messaging, anything that didn't directly speak to their problem they were going through, it confused it. And there's a lot of things, there's a lot of reasons why. Number one, their transaction is a bigger risk transaction, right? It's they've got this problem. It's a huge financial decision for them usually. Oftentimes a house is some of the largest financial decisions people make. Oftentimes it's emotional. You know, they're tied to this house that they own. They want to make sure they're not getting ripped off, things like that. So you really need to focus that message in so they feel confident that, number one, you've got an offer that can solve their problem. Number two, you're competent and you can actually do it. You show that you have the expertise to do so. And then number three, they have the confidence that you're the company that can actually do it, that they're comfortable working with you, that you've got the credibility. And you've got to guide them down that path.
So we talked a lot about, you know, how a site converts. And, you know, I've told you my story about why your site converts better than my old site. So I think like the listeners probably get that. They understand that. And I will tell you, don't do it yourself. Do not mess around. Don't friggin' hire somebody in India to try to set up your site. Trust me, you know, just buy his product.
Or your brother-in-law or your cousin. We hear that all the time. Like, oh, my cousin's setting one up. And we're like, guys, it's going to cost you way more money in the end because how many deals and leads you're going to lose because of that? Because he's not a conversion rate expert.
And the problem is in real estate, one deal is tens of thousands of dollars. Yep. So it's not like, you know, you're trying to save a couple hundred bucks to lose potentially 50,000.
Yeah.
So assuming that everyone is on board with that, mm-hmm. The second question is, how do you actually get leads? So you've got this carrot site that converts. How do you actually get the traffic there to get somebody to fill out a form to then go out and meet with them and buy their property?
Oh man. So I did this episode of the Carrot Cast. That's our podcast here at Carrot. And it was with Brian Rockwell about a month ago. And Brian Rockwell, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because he's like the prototypical great story of a dude who just followed the process. You know, he's a client down in Texas and in Dallas, man. So it's like one of the most competitive markets in the
country. Super competitive. So oh my God. Yeah.
There's no excuses that anyone else in any market can have, except for maybe Miami, because Miami's hard. But yeah. There's no excuse that anyone can have that, oh my gosh, well, it's because he's X, Y. Like, no, this guy, he had been sitting on the sidelines, wanted to do real estate investing for over 12 years. He didn't take action, was a teacher and a coach. Finally, his wife actually took action on her own business and gave him the confidence to do it himself. And
nice.
He said, I'm going to take a chance in this. So he did. And he joined Carrot. And he's like, I don't know anything about this online stuff, but my wife is doing good with her business on online. So I'm going to go all in on online. He got his first deal done. And I'm going to throw this out to you guys. It has nothing to do with Carrot. He got his first deal done from just pure grit and determination, knocking on doors in Texas, literally. So if anyone's listening to this and you honestly do not have any funds at all to do any lead gen, you can still get a deal done. Don't ever let those types of things, don't ever let your lack of resources dictate your success. I've heard this quote many times, but it's not the resources you have, it's the resourcefulness that you have. And he went out there and was knocking on doors and he closed the deal and netted about $7,000 or $8,000. So sweet, he got some money. He took some of that money and he did have his other income coming in. He didn't want to dip into it too much.
Yeah.
He took that money, you know, he joined Carrot and he set up the website, just took the basic elements that already convert, put in his credibility into it, put a little about page up there that talked about him so people could connect with him. Pretty much he didn't do much. He put his branding on there and stuff like that, right? The next thing that we always suggest is you've got to have a short-term plan for getting people, qualified people to you, and you've got to have a long-term plan. And for us, the short-term plan is usually, it depends on the type of lead you're going after. If it's cash buyers, Craigslist is still doing really well for cash buyers, for people who are looking to buy land. Luke Harris, one of our clients, was talking to him just recently, and I was looking at his website, and he's got literally over 1,800 leads for buyers that are all from Craigslist, or the majority from Craigslist, some from SEO. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking for motivated house sellers, where I would start, and I'm going to assume that people have some sort of a budget saved. It doesn't have to be huge, but some sort of a budget to market your business, and you're going to treat it like a real business. I always like to start with pay-per-click. So Google pay-per-click, Bing pay-per-click works really well. Most people don't do Bing. And come up with some sort of a budget that matches not what you feel is comfortable to you emotionally, but what the math tells you is going to help you succeed. And that's the big thing that Brian did was he's like, long-term, I want to focus on search engine optimization. It's getting my website high in Google organically when people search the phrases like sell my house fast, Dallas in his case, or cash home buyers Dallas, or the whole slew of other phrases that people search when they're looking to sell their house, selling a house I inherited in Texas, things like that. So search engine optimization was his long-term plan, because he knows once you're able to get there, it's going to take some work. And in a market like Dallas, it's going to take 8, 10, 12 months of good, well-implemented SEO to get there, which anyone listening to this call can do it. It's all simple stuff. You just have to follow a plan.
And this is stuff, not to get too technical, but is it something that you can also easily hire out somebody to do, or is it something that you have to do on your own?
Yep. So you can definitely hire it out. There's a couple of different elements to it. You've got the on-page stuff, right? The actual words on the page, the way the pages are structured. We've already kind of nailed like 70 or 80% of that to make that way easy for people. The main on-page stuff that people have to do is just customizing your content a little bit, right? So it's more unique to you. And then from there, it's mainly off-page elements, and it's stuff that, yeah, you could totally hire it out to the right person. Probably the thing that people have the most difficulty with is these two things, as far as SEO goes, is building backlinks, right? Because that's something you need. You need other websites linking toward your website in order for Google to go, okay, yeah, this is a credible website. Other websites link to it, therefore it must be pretty good. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be good quality websites. So without diving too much into SEO, which same thing, that could be an hour call by itself.
Yeah.
But backlinks are really important. You can totally outsource them. We have services that we're coming up with to do that. But you have to be very, very careful who you outsource them to. Do not go to your freelance websites and get backlinks. Please don't go to Fiverr and get backlinks. Those could actually hurt your chances of ranking well in Google. Those could kill them. The next part that people have a tough time with SEO over that long term is they're just not experts in it. They haven't had the experience to know those nuances of, well, you know, I'm ranked number 7 on page 1. I don't really know what the difference is between me and the guys who are ranked number 2 or number 3 or number 1. That's where we come in, and like our expertise, our coaching, that's where we come in and help people with that. So it's knowing the strategy of it, it takes experience, and then building your backlinks are the two parts that you have to be careful with outsourcing if you're going to.
So for the person that signs up for your website and they say, I'm willing to put in the blood, sweat, and tears, to do it, you have all the training on the back end as well, right?
Yep. All the training is in there. And then as you know, for certain levels of our membership, we have our weekly coaching calls. So that's kind of where you've got the training, go through at your own leisure. But then when you're implementing and you have questions, or you're like, I'm not sure if I did this right, or, well, I'm at the bottom of page 2, but I'm not really sure what to do next. I've already done these things. What do I do next? We're going to tell you exactly what you need to do, because we're going to do the research on your site, on those calls, and tell you what your next move is.
And these are live Q&As?
Yeah, they're live every Tuesday.
And what is that? Another $100 a month or something like that?
Oh, no, it's included in the Content Pro plan and above. Yep.
Oh, so
it's
okay.
Included in the $100 a month plan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the problem for me is I just haven't had the time to do it. So so we've got the people that are going to want to put in the time, effort, and energy. And for $100 a month, you get the site and you get the training on how to do it. Yep. Now, for somebody like me, who's, you could call me lazy, or you could just say I'm busy. What does it typically cost, like, for somebody to do these necessary steps in order to eventually get you ranked? Yeah, so, roughly.
Yeah, man. So for search engine optimization, it really depends. The main cost comes in with the amount of work it's going to take to get a good ranking, right? So I'm in a town in Oregon, Roseburg, Oregon. Love the area we live in. Amazing outdoors. I was fly fishing for 9 hours yesterday. Awesome. We love it. But it's a town of 25,000 people, right? So yeah. it's going to be way easier to rank in the top two or three for your competitive house seller or cash buyer phrases than it is to do that in Dallas, let's say. Mm-hmm. So your cost for SEO for a good SEO firm in a market like mine is probably going to be between $500 and $1,000 a month, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, we've put content out about this, that as marketers, as entrepreneurs, we have to have our minds wrapped around the right concept and how we think about our marketing. And it's got to be based on ROI. It's got to be based on what is my return on investment, short term and long term. Yep. It can't be emotionally, oh my gosh, I'm 6 months in and I haven't seen a profit from this yet. As long as you know that the progress is happening, the plan is being implemented as you hope it is, and you know your numbers, think ROI. So if you're in a bigger market like Dallas, SEO implemented well for letting you going after your top two, three, four phrases, it's probably going to be between your $1,200 a month and $1,800 a month for a really good experienced SEO firm that knows this market. Sounds like it's expensive, right? So let's add the numbers up. Let's go right here. I'm just going to go with the top end, right? We'll go $1,800 a month. Times 12, because you're definitely not going to want to hire someone for SEO less than 12 months in a competitive market, because 6 months, dude, that's not going to be enough time to do anything. I mean, you're going to get a lot of work done, but the progress, the visual progress on the Google rankings in Dallas, let's say, I'm just going to keep using that example. You're not going to see that much. You might be at the bottom of page one by then, but then it's going to take from 6 to 12 months, even up to 14 months, to get into the top three, the top two, and possibly unseat the number one position, because they've been working their butts off for years to get there. So looking at this, if you're investing $1,800 a month, and let's say you're in going back to Dallas and Brian's average profit's about $20,000 per deal. Let's say he's able to get that number two ranking, and let's use some more assumptions that 200 people a month search the phrase that he's now ranked number two for. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to use some math, and hopefully you guys can follow along, because I'm not writing on the whiteboard or anything. So
we got some smart people listening.
Sweet, man. I love it. So using those assumptions, $20,000 profit per deal, right? Let's assume 200 people per month search that. Let's also assume that 1 in 15 leads turn into a deal that nets that 20,000. Okay. Yep. Let's just use all these assumptions. So working that back, and the way that Google rankings goes is the first position, number one ranking in Google, usually gets between 30 and 40% of all of the clicks. You know, if there's 100 people who searched it, the number one ranking is going to get between 30 and 40 of them to land on their website sometimes. Mm-hmm. The second result gets about half that. Okay, it's 15 to 20%. And then it keeps on getting cut in half until it tails off pretty far at number six position. And it's like negligible after that. So you've really got to be in the first three positions to capture any measurable traffic, unless it's a massive, massively searched market. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're selling shoes and you go to Google and type shoes or where to buy shoes, you could probably be in position five and still get a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
But in this case, so let's say he's in position two. It's a year later. He's invested $21,600 to get that ranking. Leads are, they started to trickle in when he got to position five and four and three, and he started to get some leads, maybe one a week and then two a week. And now he's,
how do you know where they came from? So if you're running like Google Ads versus SEO, how do you know which source they come from?
Sweet, dude, that's a good question. So there's something, anyone can implement this on any site. It doesn't matter if you're Carrot, doesn't matter what. There's something called lead source tracking. And if you put in your Google Analytics code into whatever website you have, and then you dial in your Google Analytics settings, and it's going to take some work. And we have some blog posts actually that show how to do this stuff, so you guys can do it for free. But it's setting up your lead source tracking. So you go into Google Analytics, set up these goals, and blah, 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 outspits this data saying, hey, here's how many leads came from Google Analytics versus, or from Google Organic versus pay-per-click. To make it easier, dude, for you, you can just log into your Carrot account and we tell you exactly which leads came from a Google pay-per-click campaign, from a Bing, from a Google search, from a Yahoo search.
This is already set up for me?
It's already in there. So all of your leads already show it. Google pay-per-click, Google Organic, Yahoo Organic, or Yahoo Search, Yahoo PPC.
I'm probably the biggest proponent of your product, knowing the least amount of what it does.
I love it. It's all in there, man. It's exactly where it comes from. We tell you all where your traffic comes from, what each individual lead, where it came from, all that stuff. So you've got the data. So you know it's working.
Yeah.
And I'll kind of finish this so people get the number and ROI mindset here. Is you just invested $21,600 over the course of a year. You started to get leads late, maybe in this crazy competitive market from SEO, starting from scratch. I'm assuming you're nowhere in Google and you're starting from scratch. If you're already in page one, it's probably not going to take you 12 months of good SEO to get up to the top three if you're already like in number seven or eight. But we're assuming you're starting from scratch. So you just invested $21,600 over the course of a year. Leads started to come in month six, seven, trickling in. Now you're ranked number two about month 11 or 12. And using those numbers, you're getting about 15 to 20% of all the traffic every month. And we're assuming 200 people per month search that phrase in Dallas, right? So 200 people search that phrase. Let's just go with 20%. So you're getting about 40 people per month to land in your website. That doesn't sound like a whole lot, right? But if your website's converting at, let's say, 10%, okay, 10%. With pay-per-click, we're seeing some people like in the Baltimore market, the guy's pay-per-click we're running, it's north of 20% conversion rate. 20% of everyone who lands in his site is converting as a lead. In some markets that are crazy competitive, you're going to see the single digits possibly. You know, it could be 7, 8, 9%. Miami, pushing 5%, just crazy. We're going to go with 10%. So that means four leads per month are coming through your site. I'm like, oh, four leads, what's that going to do for me? Well, if you're closing one deal that nets you $20,000 out of every 15 leads, that's about, you know, 3 to 4 months, assuming those numbers, to get that amount, the amount of leads to close one of those $20,000 deals. So right there around month 13 or so, you just broke even. Everything after that now is going to be getting more consistent. It's going to pick up momentum. You're going to start to get more traffic and more rankings because your website and SEO has been aging and Google likes it. That is where SEO comes into the plan, man, is over the long term. It builds, it's a momentum builder, and your ROI is going to skyrocket from there. That $21,000 investment. And then possibly if you're going to keep paying the SEO firm to keep you there, you know, $1,800 a month, you're going to start turning a deal every month, every 2 months, every 3 months. And also that's going to turn into a multiple six.
Let me give you a hypothetical. Mm-hmm. You can only choose one.
Yep.
SEO, pay-per-click.
Yep.
And you are given a $21,000 budget.
Yep.
And you have 1 year. Which one are you going to pick and why?
Pay-per-click for sure.
Okay.
Yep. And pay-per-click. And the reason I'm saying that, dude, I am the biggest proponent of SEO in the world because our business, Carrot, is not built off of pay-per-click. And it's funny that I said that. You know, we have thousands of customers, and it's based off of clients getting great results and being evangelists, but also off of our content ranking insanely well on Google. When you type anything, if you search, you know, a PPC for real estate investors, I think we're the top five results in Google for that phrase and a bunch of other ones. So we're built off of SEO. 60% of the 50-something thousand leads a month, including phone call leads that come in through our system, are from SEO. Most of the deals that happen from our clients are from SEO. But given the criteria that you gave me, pay-per-click is what's going to get you there more often than not, giving a year time span, giving that finite budget. If you said, hey, what's the plan for... I'm in this for the long haul. I'm going to build a business and here's my vision. I got to get income coming in now for sure. You know, I can't wait a year to get income coming in from my marketing, but I want to build a business that in 3 years is crushing the market. That's not going to happen with pay-per-click alone. It's just not. So, but
and it's not exactly a fair comparison either, because through the mechanisms that you have set up, the training that you have, someone could just buy your website for $99 a month, and then in a year do the work themselves.
Yep.
And get there. So it's not an apples to apples comparison. What are you seeing pay-per-click, once somebody gets rocking and rolling with SEO, what are you seeing the difference between a pay-per-click cost per lead and an SEO cost per lead?
Yeah, man. So I love these questions. It's funny, I did a Facebook Live last week with Adrian on my team. And we dove into the key metric that I feel that people aren't focusing on with pay-per-click that they need to. And it's not really your cost per lead, it's your target cost per lead. And so I'm going to walk through target cost per lead. I'm going to walk through kind of what we see as averages here, right? So number one, there is no real average because each market's different. Adrian, as an example on that Facebook Live, he's literally getting deals done for $500 to $800 cost.
What market is he in?
That's up in the north part of the country. It's like Cleveland or something like that, I
think. Yeah, somewhere that's less competitive.
Yeah. So his cost per lead, I'm trying to remember from that Facebook Live that we did, it was somewhere around the, man, what was it, dude? I'm going to butcher it, but his cost per lead was cheap. I mean, it was like sub $60 per lead, mm-hmm. probably even lower than that. Part of it is because he's managing his own pay-per-click. He doesn't have someone running it. He took the time to learn it. He's going through the pains of learning the stuff, and now it's kind of rolling for him, and he's got someone that he pays to kind of look at it, but he's not paying a big pay-per-click management fee in addition to the pay-per-click costs. Mm-hmm. We have guys like Brian down in Dallas who chose to hire someone that's amazingly good at pay-per-click for real estate investors specifically. It's not a cheap management fee. They're really good at what they do. And he's paying, dude, upwards of $150 to $200 per lead. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people look at it and go, well, shoot, that seems crazy. But this is what we dove into on that Facebook Live is your target cost per lead is what's really important with pay-per-click. And then I'm going to go over to the SEO side because that's even more complicated. But we're going to make the SEO side really simple for you. So your target cost per lead with pay-per-click is so important because what happens is as we dive into a paid marketing channel, whether it's direct mail or whether it's pay-per-click or whether it's bandit signs or whatever it is, oftentimes the way that the people do it, especially newer entrepreneurs, is they set their marketing budget based off of their emotions. You know, it's like, well, I've got $1,500 carved out over here and I'm going to try this out for 4 months. Or, you know what, man, I'm a month in and I've already spent, you know, $1,200. Now I've got 7 leads from it, but no deals yet. I need to cut my losses is mm-hmm. what a lot of people think. And what we need to do is we need to trust math. Math is our savior as entrepreneurs and lead generators. And the way that we do it is this. And we actually have a calculator and I can give you the link to it. And you can put the link below in the show notes or something like that. But
yeah.
We have a calculator online that people can use for free to type in some details and it'll give you a target acquisition cost for a deal with pay-per-click. But you always start with your average profit per deal. That's where we always start because we go, okay, we know that our averages show this, or if you're a newer investor, find out from others in your market what the average profit per deal for the type of deals you're doing is. If you're an agent, find out what the average commission per transaction is for the types of deals you're doing. Write that down on a piece of paper, APD, average profit per deal. The next thing that we want to find out is how many leads do we need to get to turn into one of those? Mm-hmm. So if you're really good at negotiating and your marketing is really targeted, we have some guys literally every 7 to 8 deals are closing a deal, or every 7 to 8 leads are closing a deal. We have some guys that do a lot of direct mail and TV, like Brad Chandler, one of the largest home buyers in the country, or Dan Lane out of Tennessee, clients of ours. They're like 1 in 25 or 1 in 30 into a deal because they have a lot of really broad marketing happening. Mm-hmm. If you're doing pay-per-click, you're probably in the 1 in 10 to 1 in 15, maybe 1 in 20 range.
Yeah.
Into a deal. If you're really picky, we've got a client in Baltimore that he's like 1 in 20 to 1 in 25 into a deal because he doesn't want to buy in this whole swath of area of Baltimore where he's getting a lot of leads. He only wants to buy in this very specific part with very specific criteria. So he's 1 in 25 into a deal.
Yeah. So one of the things you talked about a guy up in Cleveland getting really low cost per lead,
yep.
but then you also gave me a very low profit per deal. And that's what I see nationally.
Well, that was cost per deal. So he's getting deals done for $500 to $800 total cost.
Right. But with low profit. In my world, yep. what the numbers you just said are low profit, and this is what I see nationally,
yep.
is I've got people that I work with in LA, in San Bernardino, mm-hmm. in my market, you know, we'll pay $250, $300 a lead.
Exactly.
But we'll make $100,000 on a flip. Like if you're not making, you know, $100,000 in LA, you're doing something wrong. I mean, exactly. You overpay for the property. So, I don't know if you've noticed that trend as well, but it always seems like the areas where you can get cheaper leads, you make less money per deal.
And cheap is relative, right?
Like, Yeah. Some people would say, you know, $60 a lead. Oh my God. You know, they should be $5, but you know,
let's go with this. I'm going to go with a high profit area here. Cause when I walk Brad Chandler through this math equation, and it's way simpler if I actually write it on a board versus trying to talk through it. But, I walk Brad Chandler, and he's done over 3,000 deals. One of the largest home buyers in the country through this 2 years ago. He's like, dude, I do $20,000 a month in paid traffic. And that changed the way that I think about it. Mm. And so we're going to do this. You start with the average profit deal. We're going to go with $100K just because we're going to use that example.
Yeah.
How many leads does it take you to close a deal that might get you that, Tom?
Probably 40 to 50.
Okay. So we'll go with that. So that's, you're doing some pretty broad marketing or who knows, a lot of competition or whatever's going on there.
Yeah.
Okay. So average profit deal is $100,000, 40 to 50. And then you start to look at cost per lead. Do you know currently what your cost per lead is? I know you mentioned
on average about 200.
Okay.
Between all sources, and there's different sources.
Yeah, sweet. So this is just a simple way to do this. So we're going to go 200 times 40 equals $8,000. Let's go 200 times 50, right? So 200 times 50 equals $8,000. So you're, or equals $10,000. So you're looking at, you know, $8,000 to $10,000 cost per, to acquire a deal that nets you $100K. Now this is what sets apart the guys who are able to scale versus the ones who aren't, and how you kind of squeeze out some more extra margin in there. Is if you'd look at that and you know your cost for the deal, you know, okay, here's what I pay for my acquisition manager. Here's this, here's that, whatever costs you have per deal, yank those out of the top. Do you know approximately kind of what other costs you have if you were to close a $100,000 profit deal? Do you have other commissions or anything you'd have to skim off the top before you pay yourself?
We will pay the person who buys the property $4,500. So I don't go on any appointments myself.
Okay.
And then I've got all the overhead of the office, and I don't factor that in. But of course, you know, that probably throws in another $10,000 to each deal I do.
Yeah. Okay. So we're talking, I'm going to go high on this. Let's say $20,000, right? So I'm going to go $100,000 minus $20,000 minus another $10,000, which was the actual lead cost. So that leaves us with $70,000 profit. Mm-hmm. So we're saying that basically we're trading $10,000 for 70, essentially, right? Would you trade 20 for 70?
100%. And that's why my marketing budget every single month just keeps going. It's to the point now, the problem I have is that I spend so much money on marketing. It's like I'm reaching every friggin' person I can possibly reach.
Yep.
And so what I've done over the past year, not even last year, last 6 months, is like I'm partnering with people in other states.
Sweet.
Like that's my next move, because like I'm basically at, like quite literally out of real estate in Boston.
Yeah.
So it's the math definitely works. But the other thing that we do is, you talked about, like, you know, say that you spend $8,000 to get a deal. I have a real estate brokerage that will bring back more than $8,000 of that back in.
Yep.
So I don't know if a bunch of your, it seems like most investors don't do this, but I don't get it. Most of those people who you meet with, the reason that they don't sell to you is because they want retail prices.
Exactly.
And I don't get why more investors don't take that back in as a listing.
Oh, man.
Because for me, right, like you talked about spending $8,000 and getting back whatever, $80,000. I'm spending $8,000, getting more than $8,000 back on listings, and then making the $80,000. So essentially I have an unlimited marketing budget. And again, I don't get why this isn't done for everybody.
Exactly, man. And kind of using that target lead acquisition number, the cost per lead. Now, I mean, you literally could take your $200 per lead and probably triple that or even quadruple it. And for me, like if I was going into that market knowing what you, it sounds like you're already doing, I'm just kind of more illustrating it for people listening. Your target cost per lead literally is probably anything under $800. Like if you can acquire a good quality lead under $800, you're doing probably doing pretty darn well. And that's, it's going to scale up your volume, which, you know, your overhead's going to go up a little bit, but then you're going to be getting a lot more listings. You're going to be closing more of those deals. Your revenue is going to go up markedly. And then that's where we start to look at our marketing. And that's a big mistake most people make with paid marketing, is they set their marketing budget based fully off of emotion. They don't do the math equation going, okay, you know, here's the math. The math shows me I definitely should not stop my marketing before I hit this number, but I'm going to push it and I want to get that first deal done. I'm going to actually, the first deal, let me just like almost break even on the first deal with paid traffic to get that model down. And then I'm going to lower it down.
When I work with people in other markets, I require that they have a minimum marketing budget and I require that they spend it all.
I love it.
Because of what you just said, the intuition is always, I got 3 leads. I didn't convert anything. This isn't working. It's not going to work. I'm going to give up. Yeah. And that's where everybody fails. You know, the newer investors, they fail at that point.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I was on a coaching call. This is probably like a year ago. It was so awesome. Just that it so happened to be that these two people were on the call. And one of the people were saying, hey, my pay-per-click's not working. And we did the math equation. Like, that's what I always do, right? Okay, how much have you invested in it? You know, show me the numbers. If we can show that they're following the math, and then we'll look at and go, okay, well, is your account set up correctly? And this person stopped at $500. We worked the numbers, and you know they were in like a $10,000 to $15,000 profit per deal market. They stopped at $500. The numbers showed that they shouldn't have stopped until it was like $2,000 or $2,500. And I'm like going, well, the math doesn't work for it. Another person came in here and said, hey, I can totally attest to this. You know, he was in a similar market, and he said, whatever it was, I mean, this isn't the exact, it's in the recording of a coaching call somewhere, but he said something to the effect of, I got my first deal done at around the $3,000 mark, that first deal on the pay-per-click. It took me about $3,000 to get it done. And he's like, but that thing netted me almost $20,000. It's a great deal. He goes, if I would have stopped at $2,000 or $2,500 or $1,000 or $500, I never would have got that $20,000 deal.
So the thing I think that's tough for new people is like, there is some luck to it. When you start to put low numbers together, like if you say to me, I only have a $3,000 budget, to guarantee that you're going to get a deal is not possible. So you could spend your first $500 and get a deal, or you could spend your first $3,000 and get nothing. And I think that for most people in the very early stages, like you said, you talked a lot about emotion, that emotional roller coaster takes over. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, if you do your first deal with your first $500, not to go too much off track, but I did my first deal and I was offering really, really low numbers on houses. Like I was trying to get them way below what my numbers would even say, because I was so nervous about buying a house. Yep. The first deal I ever did, I wholesaled it. I made $115,000.
And that's crazy.
Sounds good, right? But it was actually a huge problem, because I was spending like $4,000 to $5,000 a month on marketing after that. And I continued to offer too low. And I went through another $50,000, because that first deal that was so good that I got so discounted actually created a problem for me. Gotcha. So it's like, you know, the numbers, like you said, they don't lie, and you know, you just have to kind of follow the metrics. But how can people get in touch with you? Is the biggest, easiest way to go just to oncarrot.com or?
Yeah, man. I think the biggest thing, you know, like we were talking about before we hit record is, we're at a point with this business to where we have a good business. You know, we're not going anywhere. We keep growing. And the thing that excites me the most and our team the most is, honestly, this sounds totally corny and it sounds like it's plant, whatever. Dude, honestly, like, I give a crap about people, and we put out so much great free content for people that even if being a part of Carrot isn't in your cards, there's tons of stuff you guys can get from our website. So just go to oncarrot.com. You can check out our blog. Our blog every single week, two content pieces a week. We put out, one of them is the podcast, Carrot Cast, which I kind of open up behind the scenes. And I also do a lot of case studies. And then the other one's always an actionable post about something. I think today we put out one about Facebook marketing or something like that. But
yeah, and you put out so much content, and it's all good stuff. Like, you've got the podcast, you've got blog articles, you've even just getting on your email list is worthwhile, because you're sending out great content that way. Cool. You talked a little bit about it sounding corny. But here's the thing, right? You're a successful business owner. Like mm-hmm. You make good money, and you know, to make a little bit more is not going to impact your life, no. right? No. So what impacts your life next? It's helping people, right? Yep. So like you said, it might sound corny, but once you've already achieved your financial objectives, like at that point, what's left? I mean, you know, to make 25% more this year, like it will have no impact on what you do.
Dude, it doesn't, like you're saying, and I've been through it before. Yeah, I've been through it before with other businesses where made good money, but I didn't build like real true mission and purpose into those businesses. And I got to the point where I'm making good money and I didn't want to get up in the morning. Like literally, mm-hmm. I've told this story lots of times because it's part of my journey. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs do the same thing, is we build a business that traps us and we go after a certain objective in it. It's usually income based at the start. But what we don't plan is what happens after that income actually happens. You know, what is that goal of it? Do I just keep on going after chasing higher numbers? Because numbers never end, man. It's like,
nope.
Happiness is tied to a higher number. You're never going to be happy because there's always a bigger number. There's always bigger that did better. And I'm in the phase now where, yeah, we want to be the best. I'm not going to lie. We want to be the best. I want to build a company that is as big as it can get, but it's not based on financial. It's based on right now. I personally use Carrot as my platform for getting a message out there that hopefully can, whether it's just saving, like we talked about here, whether it's just saving some people some time and some energy and some money and getting on the right track with your marketing. Sweet. If that changes your world, I love it. Mm-hmm. If it's changing your mindset to help you build a business that you love and that's you're passionate about, that has a true purpose, that's what I get the most excited about, amplifying leaders like you, Tom, who can go out there and be better leaders, you know, people who can go out there and cast a bigger vision for people and be that beacon of positivity and possibility. Dude, that's what fires me up. So
awesome, man. Well, I want to thank you for coming on, and you guys know we publish these every single week. So I want to thank Trevor Mock for coming on today. Definitely check out Investor Carrot. Just Google it. You'll find he's all over the place. So you're not going to be able to miss him. So thank you for jumping on.
Man, I appreciate it. And thank you guys. Have an amazing rest of the week. If we can help you in any way, let us know.
Awesome. Thanks.